Time for the Tuesday's tax feature here on Classic Business. Section 24C of the Income Tax Act, that's now number 58 of 1962, provides for an allowance in respect of future expenditure to be incurred under a contract. On 3 November 2017, the tax court handed down its decision in the case of a taxpayer versus the Commissioner for the South African Revenue Services. That is now case number ITI 14240, if you were interested. The case dealt with an appeal brought by the taxpayer against the additional assessments raised by the South African Revenue Services. The taxpayer had claimed a Section 24C allowance during each of its 2011, 2012, 2013 and 2014 years of assessments, which allowance was disallowed by SARS at the time. On the line I've got Louise Kotzer, she's a candidate attorney at CDH, and then Louis Buerter, who's also an associate, or so I'd rather say an associate at CDH. Louis, let's maybe start with you. For the layman maybe listening to the show this evening, what exactly is Section 24C, and just explain a little bit around it for us.
So, Kobe, it's important to understand the context of 24C. Essentially, the reason for the introduction of 24C is that it came into effect quite a few years ago, and originally when it came into effect, the purpose was to assist contractors in the manufacturing industry, because typically what would happen with such a contractor is they would have to undertake a large construction project and then say in the first year of such a project, they would receive a large payment towards the project. The problem would sometimes be that the income that they would receive, so that payment they received would constitute income, they would not be able to necessarily set that off against certain deductions, which what then happens is that in year one of your business, for example, you have a big taxable income, which you have to pay a lot of tax, which can harm the business. And then in the following year, when you might not receive that income, now you have deductions, but maybe then you don't have income to set it off. So essentially, what we're talking about here is what's sometimes referred to as a matching principle. But the purpose of the provision was to allow taxpayers to match income against future expenditure that they would incur, provided that they could meet the requirements of the section. And like I said, originally it was brought in, the aim was to assist participants in the manufacturing and construction industry.
Louise, let's bring you into the conversation here. I mean, seeing that there's this case that had to go in front of the tax court regarding 24C, is the interpretation of what 24C stands for, I'm talking about Section 24C, is it quite vague? Is there problems around this?
Oh, hi.
Hi, Louise. Did you catch that question?
I did, yes. Thank you.
So Kobe, is it fine? I'll start off and then
sure. Louise, let's chat.
That's fine. So essentially, Kobe, it's not necessarily a problem per se, but obviously a section like this, if you look at the provision, there's a discretion that is exercisable by the taxpayer, because the taxpayer must make a decision and say, okay, what expenditure will I incur in future that I can claim now? So, in other words, it is a provision that can be open to abuse. And so obviously, that is something that SARS would have to look out for to prevent such abuse. But on the other hand, then, where a taxpayer should be allowed to claim that deduction, SARS must not just, you know, willy-nilly disallow such a deduction firstly it's not allowed, the provision is there, and secondly, from a practical perspective, it could harm the business of the taxpayer. Maybe Louise can just go on a bit about the fact that it's important for a taxpayer to be able to have that deduction to assist the longevity of the business in the short term.
Louise, over to you.
So I think what Louis is trying to say is that very often these big, so a lot of money is received under these contracts in the beginning of a contract, and then that money would have to be included in the income of the taxpayer and obviously be taxed on. But it often happens that the expenses associated with the income received under this contract are not yet incurred in that particular year of assessment. So the taxpayer then cannot claim any deductions on this income earned, and which results in a very large tax liability. And this is harmful to a lot of small new businesses because the cash flows are not what they should be at that time. So it balances it out, essentially, if they can have that income deducted under the section.
Dewey, I suppose the thing that concerns me here is that in this case specifically, a franchisee had to take the revenue services to court. So we're talking about a fully-fledged tax court case going on over here. I'm assuming that this would have happened over quite an extended period of time. I mean, does SARS not have a way to expedite something like this? Is it not an arbitration process? It seems like it is a really elongated process in order to get to a fair and equitable answer.
No, it's a very valid and important point that you raised, Kobe, because, you know, especially because of the challenging economic environment that we currently find ourselves in. You know, the last thing you'd want is for entrepreneurs, businesses, and taxpayers to be stymied and hampered by tax problems and tax technicality. So what a taxpayer would at least be able to do here, if one looks at the practical side, fighting tax liability, in terms of tax legislation, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but just to give some context, in terms of tax legislation, where a person is involved in a dispute with SARS, and where SARS now has decided to disallow a deduction. So SARS disallowed the deduction, it means that an amount would be owing by the taxpayer to SARS. But what a taxpayer could do, and obviously we don't know in this case whether it happened, but what a taxpayer could do is they could bring an application, a so-called application, to suspend the payment of tax pending the resolution of the dispute. And in such circumstances, what happens then is that the taxpayer's liability, tax liability that arises because of this dispute or the deduction that's disallowed, that liability is suspended until the appeal has been resolved. So in this case, if a taxpayer had submitted such an application to SARS, and SARS had approved such an application, then at the very least they would not have had to, you know, pay the money, and then only at the end of the matter, you know, have it refunded or paid back to them, so to speak.
So Louis, how come this is not occurring? Or should we rather say, is SARS looking at ways that they could potentially get something like this to start occurring?
Questioning taxpayers who claim the deduction.
No, what I'm talking about is ensuring that there is an expedited way to deal with any of these kind of nuances in the Act, and making sure that a taxpayer doesn't have to take SARS to court at the end of the day in order to ensure that there's some form of outcome.
Yeah, unfortunately, Kirby, there's no silver bullet, if I can put it like that. In terms of the Tax Administration Act, which regulates essentially the dispute resolution process and makes provision for various ways in which disputes can be settled, apart from something such as objection, and in this case where you have an objection process and appeal, the only other alternatives are settlement, largely. And so it's not a case of there being nothing else, but a person would unfortunately have to go through a dispute resolution process, albeit that at the very least there are time periods which both the taxpayer and SARS have to abide by. So for example, a case like this would have, you know, I don't know exactly when it would have started, they don't give us those facts, but a case like this might have started a year, two, 3 years ago, but, you know, once the taxpayer here would have lodged the objection, then, for example, SARS would have had to respond to the objection within a certain period of days. If it was unsuccessful, they could appeal. And then prior to that, there could have also been the option of a so-called ADR, which stands for Alternative Dispute Resolution, where there is a possibility for the dispute to be resolved with the presence of a so-called facilitator provided by SARS. But the problem that could arise, and again, it could have arisen in this case, is that If such facilitator did not agree with the taxpayer or agree with SARS or felt that they can't decide the case simply at ADR or SARS had a problem, then you know, then the matter would have had to go to the tax court. So the tax court, the way that the dispute resolution process works in terms of tax legislation, has been written so that litigation is a last resort, but unfortunately, in some cases, it's something that's unavoidable.
Well, that was Louis Boerter.
He's a favorable outcome.
Oh, thank you very much for that, Louis. That was Louis Boerter, associate at CDH, and Louise Kotzer, a candidate attorney at CDH. This is Classic Business, only on Classic 102.7.